It is the Brett Winterbull Show. News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. Great to be here with you. It is hot outside. Be patient. Hydrate. Do all the things you're supposed to do. Don't go crazy. We've got so much we're going to talk about today. I've got commentary about a lot of things. The first thing I'm going to lead with, after I get an update from Breaking Brett Jensen, he's got a massively important update, is this this Hunter Biden wave off from the Department of Just Us. But first, we begin, as we often have, sadly, firearms on campus. Breaking Brett Jensen's been on that beat literally since the first day of school. And he joins us now. Breaking Brett Jensen, what is going on? Firearms, potential gunplay. It is just within eyesight of the end of the school year. People are not letting up. What's going on?
Yeah, you know, I mean, we talked about this on Tuesday, Election Day. You know, I broke the story that a elementary school student brought a gun to school, Renaissance West Academy. And then this morning, another gun, this time, again, not at a high school where there are body scanners, but this one's at another middle school. The first one was at, a K through 7, and this one is now a 6 through 8. And it was a gun brought to Ranson Middle School. And so, again, two guns in 1 week. That sounds exactly like it was during before Christmas break, where we had 23 guns during the first 16 weeks of school this year before Christmas break. We had a lull sort of a little bit this semester, this the past Christmas break, but two this week. And now we've got four after Christmas break. So that's 27 guns altogether.
All right. This is a serious problem. Where does the responsibility lie, other than obviously the people who are not locking up their firearms or the kids who are criminals who are bringing guns to school? Where does this lie? Is law enforcement putting down an extra effort, given the fact that we are getting close to the end of the year and this is the time when people may want to settle some beef?
I don't know how much law enforcement can actually do, to be perfectly honest with you, because these guns are being bought off this corner, off the street corner, for $20 and $30. That's the literal price. $20 and $30, guns are being bought. And, you know, so I'm not sure how they're supposed to be able to prevent that from happening. But at the same point, you know, this is where the body scanners are great. Body scanners work for high schools, but they don't work for middle schools or elementary schools when they're not there. And so, I mean, I'm not exactly sure when you say, you know, yeah. I mean, not you, but just people in general, yeah. Well, who's to blame for this? And you're going, well, it ultimately falls on the parents or guardians, because a lot of these kids don't have parents, but the guardians, you know, that's where, because a lot of these guns are stolen that these kids are getting.
It's a shame we don't have a U.S. attorney in Charlotte. If we had a U.S. attorney in Charlotte, or somebody who covered as a U.S. attorney in Charlotte, you might actually be able to run gun interdiction programs and arrest people and charge them at the federal level. And I don't care if you're 16 years old, you're going to face federal time for bringing a gun to the school. I mean, it's too bad we just can't do that, though.
Well, you know, unfortunately, we do have a U.S. attorney.
Wait, hold on. We have a U.S. attorney in Charlotte? I've never seen. I've been here for almost 3 years, and I have never seen a single report of any sort of a prosecution from the U.S. attorney in Charlotte. That's incredible. I didn't know that.
Yeah, they do.
What is the U.S. attorney's name? Who would that individual be?
That's a great question. See, I knew some of the assistants, but I don't know the actual head.
If you know the U.S. attorney in Charlotte, I'm putting this out to the audience. If you know the U.S. attorney in Charlotte, tell him to get off his duff, his well-paid duff, and start doing gun interdiction busts. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Brett.
Yeah, no. I mean, I know for a fact that we've got an office here with U.S. attorneys here.
Yeah.
With more than one. So. Yeah. But also, real quick, yes, I do want to break some news on your show right now.
Yes.
Just got it confirmed that mass fights today up at North Meck High School up near Huntersville, and resulted on campus across the street by a Bojangles across the street from the school, on the school, and resulted in nearly 20 kids being suspended today.
Ooh. Wow. Wow.
So I just got confirmation from the Huntersville Police Department on that.
So were they taken into custody, or was it just a suspension kind of a thing? Everybody's got to go home with their parents.
You know, it's funny. I asked that very question. I said, was anybody arrested? And they said, well, because of the new North Carolina law that, you know, if you're 16, you know, you can't be, you're held as a juvenile.
Yay, get out of jail.
So in order to be actually handcuffed and paraded out, unless there was some kind of like knife or gun or imminent danger, you're not handcuffed, and generally you're just suspended.
Wow. You know, I feel badly for the teachers within the sound of my voice, because it's got, you got a couple of weeks left in the school, in the school year, and it's just going to ramp up, unfortunately, because, you know, there's just, they have pulled the teeth out of anything in the system that brings about justice on account of the school to prison pipeline propaganda nonsense. That's Brett Witterbull. That's not Brett Jensen saying that. That's Brett Witterbull. So when you want to send your email, make sure it's attention Brett Witterbull, not Brett Jensen.
And I can tell you there are a lot of thoughts within CMS that basically they're saying, okay, 3 weeks of school, the temperatures are rising again, and it's just going back to like it was in September and October when there was a gun every single week. And so now they're like I think a quote was, the floodgates have opened back up.
Yeah, you see, and what will end up happening is a good kid will be harmed because of the actions of a bad kid. And the bad kids should not be in the traditional school system. I'm sorry. If you're out there bringing guns to school and you're out there getting involved in fights, then the fact of the matter is you need to find yourself in a school that is more appropriate for your needs.
Well, you know, and again, I mean, you know, it's one thing when you bring in guns to school, but I mean, you know, but it's another thing when 17 to 19 kids, 18, 19 kids are being suspended all at once.
That's right. And if one of those 17 to 19 year olds assaulted an adult on a sidewalk, they'd get prosecuted. They'd get prosecuted. Yep. Okay, if you hit them over the head with a baseball bat or something, God forbid, they would take you to real jail and you would be prosecuted for a real crime. But if you do it in the four walls of the school and you expect the teachers and the administrators to kind of like break up a mini riot, then guess what? You just get to go free and come back tomorrow and do more drama. It's insane.
Well, I mean, that seems to be the norm.
It's sure
like,
does.
Like, because as someone told me, you know, It tends to be the female students that are assaulting the teachers more than the male students, because the male students know that they can't hit a woman. So it's the female students that are hitting the female teachers.
Well, this is a problem. This is a problem. Clearly, the CMS, the bosses at CMS, don't care about the safety of their teachers and staff. Brett Witterbull said that. Send me the note when you want to complain about it. Breaking Brett, appreciate you breaking it down.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
You got it. News Talk 1110 993 WB. It's hot outside, and I'm in one of those moods where I'm going to blast CMS and the assistant U.S. attorney and the U.S. attorney in Charlotte for the next 3 hours. I'm going to put phone numbers out. We have got to drive these people to bring charges. Sorry. Boomer Von Cannon, how are the roads? Who took the money? Oh, we know. Ask Connor. News Talk 1110 993 WBT 704-570-1110. It is great to be here with you. We do have a U.S. attorney. We have a U.S. attorney for the Western District of North Carolina. The U.S. attorney is Dina King. So I'm hoping that somebody in her office will maybe open up some of these criminal complaints and federalize what it is that's going on in the schools. I thought, weren't you guys, am I imagining, weren't guns once upon a time a gun-free zone? Like, weren't you not allowed to bring a gun within like 1,000 feet of a school and all that sort of stuff? And if you're underage and you've got a gun that you're not legally permitted to carry and it's a stolen weapon that's been sold for $28 on the corner or $50 on the corner, like that ought to get you actual like hard jail time, because you're underage, you're buying a gun. That's a felony. I mean, if you stab somebody, that's a felony. If you shoot somebody, that's a felony. Maybe Dina King, I don't know what she's working on. Maybe she's working on insurrection cases. I have no idea, but maybe she may want to go and look at what's going on in our schools. There's a interesting story out there, and then I will get to the whole Hunter Biden story and a couple of other things, including now they're saying it might just be a couple of weeks before the baby formula is back. What? I don't know how they're going to do that, but I'll talk about that as well. Let me do this, though, while we're on the school issue, because I think the school issue is hugely important. And, you know, there are a lot of people who are educators that listen to this show. They're just barely getting out of school right now. So many of them are still, you know, trying to do their jobs at the public schools here. What's causing an uptick in violence in schools? Here's what people are saying. And this is uh,
This is a report from just a couple of weeks ago. It's all too common in our schools, fights, bomb threats, guns on campus. This is nationwide. Education Weekly did a survey. Nearly half of school leaders who participated said they're seeing more violence in the classroom. More violence is taking place in the classroom. You heard what Brett Jensen said. Many times it's a female that assaults a female teacher because males understand that they will face a different sort of charge if they assault a female teacher. Nobody should be getting assaulted at school. You should be able to send your kid to school to get an education. And if there are people that are disrupting and preventing an education, then they need to find alternative education options. And I know that's screaming into the wind. I totally understand that. But you see, I care about the 28 or 32 other kids in the classroom that are not trying to start a mini riot. Like, those are the people that I care for. I care about those other kids that are trying to get an education. I'm sorry, whatever the major malfunction of a particular individual is, that individual needs to be removed from the classroom. And if they're being violent, handcuffed and taken to, I know where you could take them. Sheriff McFadden, he's got space. I'm serious. You don't need to be in a classroom disrupting and assaulting. I can't even imagine trying to be a kid, trying to get an education, really trying to work hard, and you got desks and you got punches and you got fists flying. I mean, this is not what's supposed to happen. And I would say to Dena King, who is the U.S. attorney for the Western District of Carolina, here's what I would say. I would say these kids at school have a civil right to an education. And I would say somebody who's assaulting the teacher or other students or bringing a gun is committing a civil rights violation. And I think you should prosecute them for a civil rights violation. I'm not going to go so far as to say a hate crime. I'm going to say civil rights. You have a right to an education as a child. The system tells you you must take your child between the hours of 8 and 4 or whatever it is, X number of weeks, X number of dates, all that. I know, please, I understand. The homeschoolers are going to call me and be like, that's not how we do it. I'm talking about public schools. I'm talking about public schools. I'm not talking about private schools. I'm talking about public schools. So the government says you must educate your kid, and you have to put them in the private school. You have to do it in the homeschooling where you can verify that you're educating them. You can put them in a charter school, or you can put them in the public school, which is what we really prefer. We prefer you to put your kid in the public school so they can get fully indoctrinated, fully inculcated in terms of transgender, in terms of abortion, climate change. And then for about 30 minutes a month, we do math. We teach them mathematics for about 30 minutes a month. So if the government comes in with a monopoly, essentially, and says, you got to put your kid in the school, and then I put my kid in the school, and my kid is getting threatened with a gun, threatened with a knife, beat up, raped, assaulted, what have you, you're violating my kid's civil rights. And somebody should bring a civil rights complaint. I would prefer to have this resolved in an amicable way with CMS doing what they can do to affect an educational environment for these kids. But if they can't, I would like to see CMS. I would like to see CMS taken and being put under a special master or somebody, a judge, who's going to say, let's take a look at all of the assaults and all of the failing tests and all the 8,000 kids that disappeared during the pandemic. And let's just say we're going to take full control of your district until you can get a better handle on things. That's what you would do if you were serious about educating kids. But let's be honest, ladies and gentlemen, people are not serious about educating kids. They're not. Otherwise, there'd be pickets outside of high schools that have mini riots breaking out. The shame of it is, involved parents can't show up on campus and escort their kids to and from class because they would call that an insurrection. 704-570-1110, News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. Mark Mueller's got the update. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. It is the Brett Witterbull Show. 704-570-1110 to check in. I know we have people sometimes, they call in and they want to pass along a message. DOJ clears Hunter Biden, despite the fact that he cashed in. I was watching the coverage of this earlier today. I know I do things for you that you don't even know I'm doing for you. I actually put on MSNBC and I'm watching Hallie Jackson try to do this weird waltz around this story because, you know, Merky Garland, who I think is the most corrupt attorney general we've had since El Reno, maybe Janet El Reno. This guy and the Department of Justice is like, we don't see any crime being committed by Hunter Biden. We can't really do anything about this. And so when they did that, MSNBC is looking with a straight face into the camera. This is a report by Tom Winter, Sarah Fitzpatrick, Chloe Atkins, and Laura Strickler. DOJ clears Hunter Biden. From 2013 through 2018, Hunter Biden and his company brought in about $11 million via his role as an attorney and board member with a Ukrainian firm accused of bribery and his work with a Chinese businessman now accused of fraud, according to an NBC News analysis of a copy of Biden's hard drive and iCloud account and documents released by Republicans on two Senate committees. The documents and the analysis, which don't show what he did to earn millions from his Chinese partners, raise questions about national security, business ethics, and potential legal exposure. In December of 2020, Biden acknowledged in a statement that he was the subject of a federal investigation into his taxes. NBC News was first to report that an ex-business partner had warned Biden he should amend his tax returns to disclose $400,000 in income from the Ukrainian firm Burisma. GOP congressional sources also say that if Republicans take back the House this fall, they will demand more documents and probe whether any of Biden's income went to his father, President Joe Biden. I think, do you have the clip that I have from Maria Bartiromo and James Comer? Not James Comey, James Comer, who is a congressman from Kentucky. And this is how the conversation went earlier today.
Well, I think justice will come. They're going to be given an opportunity to come before numerous committees of jurisdiction from Republicans when we retake the majority of the House next year. So they're going to have an opportunity to explain themselves and explain the huge disservice they did to the American voters when they're trying to sort out all the misinformation that the mainstream media was trying to portray about the Bidens and their business dealings. I think we all know that Hunter Biden is a national security threat. And I can tell you right now, even though we're still in the minority, the Republicans on the House Oversight Committee continue to investigate and probe Hunter Biden. In fact, next week, I think we're going to release some more information that not only shows more wrongdoing by Hunter Biden, but it also shows a probable cover-up by the Biden administration. So this Hunter Biden problem is not going to go away. To reference your earlier question, what a shame that former intelligence officials would come and try to put their names on the line and their reputations on the line to say there's no problem here with Hunter Biden. Everything's fine. This is fake news.
Yeah, I mean, they use their roles as intelligence officials, their former roles, as some kind of credibility that we're supposed to listen to simply because they wanted to defeat Trump. But I want to get to this issue of influence peddling and ask the question of whether that is dictating President Biden's decision.
Okay, so here's the explanation about why it is Hunter Biden doesn't have any ethics rules that apply to him, okay? No government ethics rules apply to him, said Walter Schaub. He's a former director of the U.S. Office of Government Ethics, who is now an ethics expert with the Project on Government Oversight. Schaub added, however, that it's imperative that no one at DOJ and no one at the White House interfere with the criminal investigation in Delaware. Schaub had previously raised questions about Hunter Biden's new line of work selling his own paintings, which created the potential to purchase a painting to buy perceived influence. And also because the White House became involved in the transactions, arranging that none of the buyers' names be known to Biden, the White House, or the public. Frank Figlusi. He is one of the prime, primo, supremo sellers of the Russia collusion hoax back in the day on MSNBC. the FBI former assistant director for counterintelligence, his main job is countering any intelligence, said there is a national security risk when foreign powers like China see an opportunity to get close to someone like Biden. It's about access and influence. If you can compromise someone with both access and influence, that's even better, said Figluzzi, now an NBC News contributor. Better still, if that target has already compromised himself. Oh, I mean, he's running around with a jock strap, and he's running around with a sailor hat on his head, and he's oiling up, and he's making pictures and videos with ladies of the evening to be charitable. I want to keep it high class. Jock strap was a little low end. I'm sorry about that. Male suspension system. You know, you got that's no good. I can't say male suspension system. I mean, come on. Well, then you want me to say jockstrap. Okay. He had it on backwards, too, which is really strange. I don't know what he had planned later on tonight. But the thing is, if you go back to the bad old days, and by the bad old days, I'm talking about Janet El Reno and, of course, William Jefferson Blythe Clinton and Charlie Tree and all those chi-coms that were like, we're going to the Buddhist temple with Al Gore, and they were writing sequential, traveler's checks to contribute money to the Clinton reelect effort and all that sort of stuff. None of them were related to Bill Clinton, and yet still they got access. Hunter Biden is related to Joe Biden, and he got access. You can read the emails. Tony Bobulinski can testify that that's what this whole game was all about. And yet, Merrick Garland's just sitting back there saying, you know, I don't know. I'm too busy investigating the parents that are showing up and protesting. We're going to try to put them in jail. I'm too busy taking people who went into the Capitol building and did nasty, dirty things and trying to get them the death penalty. Hunter Biden, we just don't have time for that. 704-570-1110. No, he's not really asking for the death penalty. That's what we call hyperbole. And among some people, they might refer to it as the hyperbole. Okay, it's all right. It's all good. Boomer Von Cannon.
Yes, sir.
Man, it's like 192 degrees outside. I left my car. Uh-huh. I left my car, and I unwrapped a package of Orville Redenbacher popcorn.
No.
Because I want a snack on my way home,
yes.
And I'm just hoping it doesn't burn on my back seat.
Hot air fry pop.
Let's just fry that sucker.
No grease or oil necessary.
None of it, man. We're all good.
That's right.
How we doing on the road? News Talk 1110-993 WBT. That is a great bump. Lack of communication, rat. 704-570-1110. By the way, Coach Doherty is not here today. He is, he's got something that he's doing, does it once a month, and he'll be back next week. So I wanted to talk to him about a number of different things, but I'm going to have to hold those in abeyance until he returns to the program next week. In the meantime, we're taking your phone calls. There's this piece of information that I know exactly how I feel about it. Like, there's oftentimes I'll see a story and I'll say, I don't know how I feel about this. This is a story I know exactly how I feel about. I am repulsed by this story. The pet spider black market is a sprawling and dangerous web. This is MSN News via the Daily Beast. If you're looking for a pet and don't feel like dogs and cats have enough legs to go around, there's always the option of a pet spider available for purchase on the web with a simple click. They're just one option in the lucrative market of exotic animals being smuggled and sold worldwide. With greater ease these days, thanks to e-commerce and social media, even video sharing platforms like YouTube have unwittingly played a hand in normalizing exotic pets and encouraging their trade. Scientists, policymakers, and concerned citizens have all banded together to counter the exotic animal trade around the world, but arachnids, the family of critters that include spiders and scorpions, have fallen under people's radar. No joke they have. Who has that as a pet? Can a scorpion show you love and affection? Can a tarantula show you love and affection? No. No. This is why I call the pest control people. Come in, wipe these suckers out. I don't need these in my house. A new paper published Thursday in the journal Nature found that while there are 1,264 arachnid species currently being traded around the globe, a staggering 79% of them are not monitored. They're not monitored. Arachnids might not seem like much to us humans, but they are the apex predators of the invertebrate world and play a crucial role in the ecosystem. So they are the apex predators of the invertebrate world. I would have thought that would have been Hunter Biden, that he would have been the apex predator of the invertebrate world. Oh, no, I'm sorry, I got that wrong. He would be the apex predator of the inebriated world. That's what, there you go, right there, okay. Poaching these animals from their natural habitats to be sold in the mass market can disturb biodiversity and stability of the environment. It's like an airplane. You can take a few rivets or screws out of the wing and you might be fine, but take one too many out and the plane crashes. That is a disturbing analogy to use. That is a disturbing analogy to use. The researchers behind the new study looked at arachnid trades over the last two decades through an online search of all current and historic arachnid selling websites that they could find. So they went and they found all the websites that are selling them, and they did a survey. And they wanted to find out, you know, what's the story? What do you got? What's out there? How you doing it? You know, all that sort of stuff. And some trades are successful. Some trades are not successful. Then, of course, you could totally end up with the arachnid version of Bobby Bonilla Day. I mean, it's anything is possible. Yeah, I mean, it's just you just never know. Hey, TJ, good call. Little Peter Gabriel. You know that 36 years ago today, the album So by Peter Gabriel was released. I mean, that's not this one, but it was a lot of great songs, including Brett Jensen's favorite moment in film history, In Your Eyes, when he stood outside that person's house with the big radio. TJ, well called. I'm Brett Winterbull. Plenty more straight ahead. Don't get any spiders. News Talk 1110-993-WBP. News Talk 1110-993 WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show, 704-570-1110. And I was just talking about the arachnid trafficking. And we got a call about it. And so I'm gonna take this call straight up because Spencer's been holding on patiently and I wanted to get his take. Okay, so Spencer, welcome to the show. It's good to have you back. As you heard, we were sharing the story out of the Daily Beast and of course the MSN news site that says, you know, that you've got a lot of trafficking going on with arachnids, with spiders, and people are concerned about this. I don't know why anybody would want a spider for a pet, but then again, who am I to judge? It's a crazy mixed up world. Spencer, I understand you had a pet spider. Is that what happened?
Well, no, it was like 500.
You had 500?
Yeah, me and a crazy friend of mine, he actually had a good business. He was making ties down in Lancaster, South Carolina. He had a tie shop.
Right.
He also had Amway, so you know where that's going.
Oh, that's cool.
He got this wild idea to go to Brownsville, Texas, and bring back tarantula spiders.
What?
To sell as pets in a pet shop. And he had two pet shops in Charlotte that had committed to try to sell these things. And they're, you know, they're innocuous little beings. They just sit there and you feed them a cricket every month or so, and they're fine with that.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, we drove from Lancaster, South Carolina to Brownsville, Texas in 24 hours.
Well, I would drive it very quickly as well. Was the vehicle filled with spiders? I mean,
it was filled with empty Coke crates and Dixie cups with lids on them.
Oh my gosh.
We got down to Brownsville, and these people that lived in Brownsville, they were deathly afraid of these things. They're not poisonous, but they were deathly afraid of them. They were paying us to get them out of their yards.
How did they? They had 500 spiders in their yard?
Well, you know, we spent about a week down there, so we were going yard to yard, and they would let us use their garden hoses and stuff. You know, you run water down in the hole, and the spider comes up to the top of the hole, and you stick the Dixie cup over the top of the hole, and you run a bayonet down under the spider and push, and the spider thinks that the Dixie cup is part of the hole, and he runs up into the bottom of the cup, and you turn it over and slam the lid on. It's got a little straw hole so they can breathe. And you put them in these little wooden Coca-Cola crates. You remember those things?
Yeah, I remember those things. Absolutely. Hold on a minute.
By the way, the time period here, we're talking 1972.
So this is a long time ago.
We were probably the first ones that tried to do this.
This is incredible. Look, you mentioned the use of a bayonet. That's outstanding. Who is talking about bayonets to go and get arachnids? Now, I'm endlessly fascinated by this. So you got them eventually. You got them loaded up into the styrofoam cups.
Actually, they were paper cups. Paper Dixie cups.
Okay, so you got them in the
styrofoam back then.
Well, that's true. That's right. That's true. But you were much kinder to the environment.
But we had this Dodge van, and it was slammed full of these Coke crates and spiders. And coming back, I had a little bit of a heavy foot.
Oh, no.
Got stopped by the Texas Rangers.
Oh, my gosh. Right. They don't play.
In a cop car, you know, he pulls up and says, "All right, now, this was back in my hippie days, you know, 20s, you know, Winston Churchill said, if you're not
a socialist liberal, when you're young, a liberal when you're young, right?
Yeah, you have no heart. Well, I was all full of heart. But the guy stopped us. My hair was down to the middle of my chest, blonde, stringy, long hair. And he got us out of the truck, and he said, "All right, I got you. You're going to have go up the river for drugs, and, you know, all this kind of stuff." And he opens up the back, and he pulls out one of these cups and takes the lid off, and the spider runs up his arm.
Whoa!
And he liked to had a duck dancing around and everything. And fortunately for me and Danny, we had these backers with us. One was a doctor from Lancaster, and one was a lawyer from Lancaster.
Uh-huh.
And this lawyer had the wherewithal to contact the attorney generals in every state we were going through.
Wow.
And get permission to transport
the
spider.
Oh, my
gosh. So they had to let us go. Of course, he gave me a ticket for $100 or so? That was a lot of money.
That's a lot of money, yeah.
But, you know, we had a grand old time. And got back to somewhere between Greenville and Spartanburg, and the truck caught fire. It was one of those Dodge vans that has the motor between the front seat.
Yeah,
and you had to get into the to put the oil in.
Oh my God.
Through that little cover between the front two seats.
Yeah,
and Danny pulled that car over and the truck over and pulled that cover off, and he started beating the thing out with his jacket, and he finally got the fire out, and so we were stuck there on the side of the interstate, and these two, you know, the lawyer and the doctor were just upset, and I said, "Well, you know, we got all this hose that we got from these people. Why don't we just run the hose between the bumper on the Lincoln and the bumper on the Dodge van, and we can just pull it up to the next exit?" So we did that, got into a service station that just happened to be there, and there was a mechanic in there doing plugs and points on a Chrysler that was the same engine. And so I went and got the plugs and points and everything and took the burnt stuff out of the Dodge van and put what they had abandoned in the Dodge van, and it cranked up. And we drove on back to Lancaster, South Carolina, and found out then that the pet shops had backed out.
No kidding.
So we had 500 tarantulas, nowhere to sell them. And you know where we ended up selling about half of them?
Where?
Infinity's End.
Wow.
You know what Infinity's End is, right?
But please clarify for the audience.
That's the local head shop.
I got you.
right?
Okay, so wait. So how much did you net off this caper, Spencer?
Oh, how do get-rich-quick schemes usually turn out?
You lose everything.
We ended up selling about half of them through Infinity's End, uh-huh. and sold the other half to a biological supply company up in Asheville that pickled them and sent them out as dissecting specimens.
Wow, look at this. You guys were spider traffickers before it was cool, Spencer.
Yep.
And you know what? Let me tell you. You're the call of the day, man. This may be the call of the week.
Hello.
Yo, guys. How you doing?
Congratulations. You're the caller of the day. Brought to you by High Performance Real Estate Advisors.
Spencer, thank you so much for sharing with us, man.
Yep, I knew you'd like that.
That's a good story, buddy. Appreciate you, man.
Yeah, man.
Thanks. Boomer.
Man, Spencer.
Boomer, that's like the original idea for Smokey and the Bandit.
I mean, Spencer was rolling, Daddy. I bet he used to hang out at the Midnight Sun or a place called The Cellar down in Moorhead. I bet you.
Have to find out.
Yeah, I bet you, man. It just sounds like it.
Did you happen to buy a spider back in the day?
No, I just rumor.
I hear you, man. All right, so let's say you're driving a load of spiders into Charlotte. What road are you going on? Right?
He's pounded down, loaded up and trucking. Are we going to do what they say can't be done?
Oh, News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. I'm still laughing about that story from Spencer. I mean, it was absolutely fantastic. I mean, look, it's a combination of entrepreneurship. It's a combination of a whole lot of stuff all the way around. And see, this is what is so cool about doing talk radio, because we get to have elongated conversations with people. If you're listening, I mean, I've all due respect to the music stations and things like that, but you don't get to talk a whole lot. You get to talk a whole lot when you're doing talk radio, and you get to interact with the audience. And it's why it's my favorite. It really is my favorite form of media. It's my favorite medium, talk radio. I think it's just so hugely awesome. Question for the audience out there, and it's not a trick question. I remember a week ago, we were getting yelled at, and we meaning people not inside the White House, we were getting yelled at by the President of the United States for so-called ultra-MAGA. Do you all remember getting yelled at about ultra-MAGA? About your ultra MAGA and the ultra MAGA and all this sort of. Do you guys remember that? Are you old enough to remember all that stuff happening? I'm old enough to remember all that stuff happening. The ultra MAGA accusation. That thing has like totally disappeared. That thing has completely disappeared from the face of the earth. I thought they were going to run on ultra MAGA, and everything is ultra MAGA's fault, and you name it. What did they abandon that already? Did they already abandon that? I'm puzzled. I'm perplexed. I want to know, because if you can't stay committed to one line of attack, I mean, what are you doing? Now that's a elongated way. Twice I've used that phrase. That's an elongated way of shimmering and shimmying right into gas prices. Gas prices, okay? Cut number 46. We're going to do cut number 46. Peter Ducey and KGP. KJP is, of course, Karine Jean-Pierre. She is the new spokesperson at the White House. And Peter Ducey asks her a pretty straightforward question. Go.
Americans are now spending $5,000 a year on gasoline. That's almost double what they did a year ago. Where are people supposed to go to get all that extra cash?
To get the extra cash to pay for gas?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, one of the things that we've been very clear about is to do everything in our power to make sure that we lower cost. You know, it is important. We see it. The president understands what the American people is going through. And that's why we're doing everything that we can. We've made multiple announcements in the past several months of what we're doing, whether it's the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, whether it's the Ethanol 15, to make sure that.
So they're doing whatever they can, whether it's the ethanol, the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, the ethanol, all that sort of stuff. Do you know what they are doing now with the gas pumps? I know this is happening out on the West Coast, and I believe it is happening. It's going to be happening across the country. Raise your hands if you know what they're doing with the gas pumps now. They're reprogramming them. You know about this? They're reprogramming them, and they're accommodating the reprogramming to double digits a gallon. Like $10 a gallon, $12 a gallon, $15 a gallon. Can we have an honest conversation about this? The people in Washington, D.C. have absolutely no knowledge and no know-how when it comes to try to get more energy. They want to point to Putin. Fine, you point to Putin. If the answer is to get supply from really bad countries, why doesn't the Biden administration just come out and do what they've wanted to do from the earliest days of the Obama administration and say, listen, we are going to remove Iran from the oil list, and we're going to buy oil from Iran, and we're going to buy oil from Venezuela. Why do we have to buy it from Russia? You don't have to get it from Russia. You can get it from Iran. Iran's got oil. And they'll sell it. They need it. They need the cash. Why? Venezuela will sell it. They need the cash. But because we have policy being dictated by a particular religious group, and I'm not talking about the mullahs in Tehran or the communists in Venezuela. I'm talking about you climate people for which this is your religion. And you get a twofer for this. Because you get to push your religion of climate change, and you get to punish normal working people, because you don't like normal working people by and large. You don't like farmers. You don't like truck drivers. They're smelly and they shop at Walmart and they do all that kind of, you don't like those people. You don't like working people. You like people that are not working. You like people that are free to go out and protest in front of the Supreme Court Justice's house, or to riot and loot. Like, you like those people. You do like, but you don't like working people who are trying to feed their families. And I've heard from a couple of people. I had somebody on Twitter come at me who said to me in a direct message, they said, well, just go buy an electric car, man. Sure. I have $75,000 laying around. Let me just write the check. I don't have $75,000 laying around. And you don't have $75,000 laying around. And oh, by the way, we're going to go into an electricity shortage this summer. You wonder about this? Is that Ultra MAGA that did that, Joe? Is that Ultra MAGA that did that, Kamala? Is that Ultra MAGA that did that, Karine Jean-Pierre? What is it? Well, I can tell you what it is, and I'm going to tell you what it is. And I'm going to demonstrate it for you straight ahead. 704-570-1110, News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. Mark Mueller with the update. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. It is the Brett Winterville Show. I want to let you hear something. You know, there was a time, and I'm dead serious when I mentioned this. There was a time when people would say, when are we going to fight back? When are you going to see some of these guys fight back? When are you going to see these guys challenge and call them out and all that, right? You've probably said this over a period of time. You actually do have people in the House and the Senate that are calling them out, challenging, doing things like this. You have Hawley and Granholm. So Josh Hawley is the senator from Missouri, and he was questioning Jennifer Granholm. Jennifer Granholm is the, she's sort of like the energy, well, she's the Secretary of Energy, but she doesn't do a lot about creating energy or getting energy created. That's the great irony of the Department of Energy. And so she comes in to testify today about gas prices. And Josh Hawley, I think he does a tremendous job of laying out the case that they're not taking this as seriously as they should at the White House. Go.
Secretary Granholm, today in the state of Missouri, the average price of gasoline today, as of this morning, is $4.10. Average price of diesel is $5.18. And I'm sure you've seen the reporting this morning that now AAA is projecting that gas prices will hit a national average of $6 a gallon by the month of August. Is this acceptable to you?
No, it is not. And you can thank the activity of Vladimir Putin for invading Ukraine and pulling essentially those barrels.
With all due respect, Madam Secretary, that's utter nonsense. In January of 2021, the average gas price in my state was $2.07. 8 months later, long before Vladimir Putin invaded Ukraine, that price was up over 30%, and it has been going up consistently since. What are you doing to reverse this administration's policies that are drawing down our own supply of energy in this country, that are throttling oil and gas production in the United States of America? What are you doing about
it? With respect, sir, it is not administration policies that have affected supply and demand.
How can you say that when the price of gas was up over 30% from January to... You answer my questions, and it's my time, Madam Secretary, so why don't you answer my question? From January to August, the price of gasoline was up over 30%. In my state alone, it has been a continuous upward tick since then. And here's what your president did when he first came to office. He immediately re-entered the Paris Climate Accord. He canceled the Keystone Pipeline. He halted leasing programs in ANWR. He issued a 60-day halt on all new oil and gas leases and drilling permits on federal lands and waters. That's nationwide. That accounts, by the way, for 25% of U.S. oil production. He directed federal agencies to eliminate all supports for fossil fuels. He imposed new regulations on oil and gas and methane emissions. Those were all just in the first few days. Are you telling me that's had no effect on our energy supply?
Here is the problem. This is an administration that came in and vowed to effectively destroy the fossil fuel industries. You had that even back in the original Obama-Biden days, because remember, it was Barack Obama who bragged openly about bankrupting energy companies if they tried to build a power generation station in West Virginia. He's like, you can build it, but you're going to go bankrupt because of how much we're going to hit you over that, because of the carbon that you're going to be putting up into the atmosphere. So what ended up happening? This is what's an incredible part of this story that doesn't get reported on anywhere. The energy companies, the gas companies, the petroleum companies took the Biden administration at their word, because Ron Klain is the person who writes all the executive orders and gives them to Joe Biden to sign. Ron Klain, that's the guy who said inflation was a rich person's problem and that the Christmas Peloton is just, you know, you just got to learn how to deal with it and all that. He is a craven, awful, awful political hack. Look him up. You'll recognize him. You'll see him. He is the guy who is the chief of staff of the White House. So he's responsible for programming the president and giving him the executive orders and setting up the different events. So Ron Klain, as Act One was open the border, Act Two was kill off the Keystone XL pipeline and make it clear to the energy companies that we're coming for you and we're not ashamed of that. The energy companies took the administration at its word and said, you know what? You're right. We're not going to drill any more wells, because guess what model we just realized that we can score with? Shortage of energy means higher profits and prices for the energy companies. Now, I know what you're saying. Yeah, but Brett, they want to sell as much oil and gas as they can. Sure, they do. Sure, they do. But they've got the best of both worlds. What a great Van Halen song. The best of both worlds. They've got the best of both worlds, because they get to say, we're not doing any more drilling. We're not going to expand any more leases. We're not going to do any of that, because what's going to happen in a second term is President Harris and Vice President Newsom, or President Harris and Vice President Pelosi are going to come in and they're going to rip the guts out of our drilling system. So we're not going to drill anything. We're just going to keep what we have, and we're going to maximize profits. And the White House is going to yell at us, and people are going to be upset. But you know what? We're making money. We're making money. The entire reason why you would never do it this way is because if you wanted to encourage people to get electric cars, you'd build out the electric grid more. You'd build more power generating stations. And what you would use specifically is nuclear energy. That's what you would build. You would build nuclear plants as far as the eye could see. And you'd power them with something that does not produce carbon pollution. You get nuclear waste? Well, fine. Make that the next great project where you try to figure out what are we doing with nuclear waste so that it doesn't become a threat. But that's something that you can worry about down the road. Instead, we're using wind. Instead, we're using solar. Instead, we're using hydro. Instead, we're using all this stuff that doesn't work for a 21st century economy. So the energy companies don't have to do anything, and they're going to make profits. And Joe Biden's going to yell at them, and they don't care. And caught in the middle is you. Can you afford $5,000 extra dollars this year to fill your tank to go to work? Can you afford that? To pay $4, $6 for a loaf of bread? To have no baby formula on the shelves. My God, ladies and gentlemen, this president has put us on the pathway to Venezuela. Minus the energy. I'm telling you right now, the word needs to go to the White House. You are going to be impeached as the first order of business of a Republican Senate and House. You are going to be impeached, and we are going to do what it takes to stop all of this now. To stop it now. Resign or be impeached, Mr. President. The only way you can save your political hide is to turn the energy back on and become an adult. Ron Klain has got to go. This president has got to go. He doesn't take this seriously enough. Lives are in the balance. And against this entire backdrop, the border is wide open, which means you have people coming in that are consuming energy and food and assets that we need. And that is a strictly optional operation at the border. We have got to get a grip on these things. 704-570-1110, News Talk 1110, 993 WBT. Boomer, how the road? News Talk 1110, 993 WBT, Brent Winterbull Show. Let's take some calls here. We've been remiss in getting out there on the phones. Jeremy's up first. Hey, Jeremy.
Hey, can you hear me?
I hear you. You sound great, buddy.
All right. Yeah, I just want to make a comment here that the gas prices, the reason why it's so high, it'll inflation actually, is because the gas. And everything runs on gas. Boats run on gas.
Yep.
Trucks run on gas. Trains run on gas. Planes run on gas. Or fuel or whatnot. You know, that's what's driving inflation. That's what's driving prices. It's mm-hmm. the number one thing. You know, if they increase corporate taxes, it's going to make businesses shut down. The first thing they're going to do is people, they're going to go to other countries, you know, and at the same time, mantras that they used in the past, how is this helping working mothers?
Yeah.
I think they were much better off a few years ago.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. You're exactly right, Jeremy. That's the thing. Inflation is the cruelest tax of all because it taxes the poorest the most. Where was all the energy 3 years ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, before we went into lockdown mode? Where did that energy go? Stan knows where the energy went. What's going on, Stan?
Hey, how are you doing today, bro?
I'm well, buddy.
Yeah, I wanted to tell you what I think this is all about. The government forever has hated in America our ability to go where we want to go, when we want to go, how we want to go. And this is to outprice it so that most can't afford to do that. Mm-hmm. If you paid attention in Europe, in a lot of places in Europe, they are proposing 2 days work from home a week.
That's right.
And no car on the road on weekends.
Right.
That's coming here. That's why they have a plan here to spend $12 billion on light rail in Charlotte. And they're trying to price us out so that nobody can go except where they say you can go when they say you can go.
Well, you know what's going to happen then, right, Stan? You're going to have the death of the cities. The cities will die. The metros will die, and people will work remotely from them, from their 20 acres in South Dakota.
Yeah.
I mean, but we have the ability to change this. We don't have to live. We don't have to live this way. We can throw these chains and shackles off of us. I mean, it's insane. It's insane. Stan, great call. I mean, this is not a hard thing to do. This is not a hard thing to do at all. Michael, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Having a little knowledge about nuclear energy.
Yes.
I agree with you. The problem is that during the Cold War, in order to keep the mines open, mm-hmm. we outlawed the reprocessing of spent fuel rods.
Mm-hmm.
This obviously caused the problem of how to get rid of spent fuel rods, and we all know what that is.
Right.
It would be a lot cheaper if they just changed that law. It would allow us to reprocess the spent fuel rods.
Mm-hmm.
It would be cheaper and a heck of a lot safer.
Well, that's what we ought to do. We need it. People need to then lobby for that change to be made at the House and the Senate level.
No one has the gallons to do it.
Of course they don't. But you know what? If the choice is energy for 4 hours a day versus no energy, you know, versus available energy, then we're going to have to make those changes. I mean, it's what's going to have to take.
And we'll have to when there's a crisis.
Well, that's very true. That's very true. Yesterday, President Biden was in Washington, D.C. He was visiting with folks talking about the upcoming hurricane season. You know there's hurricanes coming? This is Joe Biden from yesterday talking about the hurricanes.
We know hurricanes are coming our way.
Yes.
They grow more extreme every season thus far.
Uh-huh.
Pay attention to the hurricane warnings and follow the guidance of your local authorities.
Okay, that is somebody mentally checked out because he's saying the words, and the reason why he repeats them is he thinks it's important to repeat them. Please play it again, TJ, because the words he repeats, please, please follow the guidelines of your local authorities. Go.
We know hurricanes are coming our way. They grow more extreme every season thus far.
Uh-huh.
Pay attention to the hurricane warnings and follow the guidance of your local authorities.
It just means nothing. It's just he's just saying words. It's literally a hostage tape. Good afternoon. Please send the $30,000 in the duffel bag, and then I will be free. Thank you. No. Okay, hurricanes, got it. Hurricanes are coming. Do you know what's going to happen when the hurricanes come? The hurricanes are going to hit the Gulf Coast and the southeastern part of the United States. They will hit the fuel drilling, the oil drilling, and the refineries that are there along the coast of Texas. Won't that be something when we suddenly get to $47 a gallon because they've thought enough to reprogram the gas pumps? This is insanity. This is insanity. You have a mission. You have a mission for the next 6 months to the election. Everybody you know that voted for Biden, you need to look at him and say, I forgive you. I forgive you. We can fix this. Do what's right. Sometimes it's not enough. News Talk 1110-993-WBT.
Pay attention to the hurricane warnings and follow the guidance of your local authorities.
News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show. Great to be here with you. 704-570-1110. News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT on Twitter at Winterbull Show. And you can DM me there if you ever have questions about the show or something we've been talking about. I'm happy to be fully interactive in that way. It's good to be with you. A lot of stuff out there in terms of the news of the day, and I want to certainly dive into some of this stuff. I really am sincerely stunned at the idea that we are having an energy crisis the way we have an energy crisis today. Did nobody think, And I'm talking about electricity. I'm talking about gasoline, diesel. I'm talking about the whole shebang, which is a technical term. The whole shebang. Here's what I don't understand. We have all these electric cars that are out there now. We have hybrid vehicles. We have more people driving than probably we've ever had in the history of the country, because the country has gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. You've got every kind of technology in your home. You've got computers. You've got the Internet of Things. You've got televisions, big screens, high-speed internet. You name it, right? Just think of all the stuff you have in your house right now that is powered versus where you were like in 1986 or 1996. I mean, it's a substantial change. It's a substantial difference. And yet, at the same time, we think that we can diet our way out of this. In fact, the idea that you can conserve or that sort of stuff is foolishness. It's like saying you can diet your way out of a famine. Well, we just have to eat less. There's really nothing you can eat. Well, we're just going to eat a little bit less. That's not how we should be operating in 2022. I want to take this call from Chip because he's got a very important point to make. Chip, welcome to the program.
Hey, Brad, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks.
And thank you for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
What's going on 485? Ask Boomer. I'm stuck in this. What is going on here?
All right, I will. I'm going to send my guy over to find out. We're going to be due for an update in about 4.5 minutes.
Okay, I'll get to my point. I just wanted to bring up, a lot of people don't know that the UN is having a big meeting this weekend into next week.
Yes.
The World Economic Forum and the WHO.
Yes.
And what it concerns is losing our sovereignty.
Yes.
And so I, you are a little bit more of an expert than I am on this. And I want you, if you know on this, can you expound on exactly what we are getting ready to sign a treaty into?
What we are about to sign a treaty into is the World Health Organization will get the power from us to declare public health emergencies that affect us in the United States. So right now we use the CDC or Fauci or HH, whatever it is, right? We have institutions in our states. We have institutions at the federal level. These guys at the World Health Organization can come out and say, we have a report that you have COVID-19 in the United States, and we are declaring it a public health emergency. And now Chip and Brett and everybody else has to stay at home until we say you can go back to work. That's what they're going to do. That's what they're ceding.
Right, and that supersedes our constitutional rights.
It would, except I think this has to be ratified. I think there can be a challenge in the Senate to say this thing's not ratified, just like the climate accord is not ratified, just like the Iran nuclear deal was not ratified. You can't cede American sovereignty just on Joe Biden's say-so. Unfortunately, it'll be on his say-so for the period of time that he's the president of the United States. And so we have got to understand that this guy Tedros, who's in the pocket of the Chinese communists, that guy is bad news. He's going to get unilateral authority to declare a public health emergency in any nation based on whatever evidence he chooses. This guy.
Right, and if you just look on Google or whatever search engine you want, just let me make this last point.
Yep.
Is it HR6666? And HR666, look those up.
Yep.
And then tell me what you find. Also, CDC Green Zones. Please tell me what you find when you look those up, because they're right there.
Yep. Look,
and they tell you exactly their agenda.
Well, so here's what people are afraid of with this deal. I'll let you go, Chip, while you're out the drive. Just keep listening. What they're concerned about is, say that we decide in the United States, you know what, we're not doing this Green New Deal. Say in 2 years, you end up with a President DeSantis, okay? I won't even do Trump. I'll just do DeSantis, okay? So that nobody has a freak out. And DeSantis comes into office and says, you know what, we're not doing this Green New Deal nonsense. He's tearing up the paperwork, and it's out the door. Well, Tedros and these other idiots in Geneva could turn around and say, climate change is a public health emergency, and you tore it up, so we're gonna lock you guys down. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking what I thought earlier today, which is, hey, wait a minute. You don't have the power to shut our economy down. Well, that's not the entire story, because if you've got this World Economic Forum, the WEF, okay, if you've got the World Economic Forum pulling this stuff together and they're deciding, you know what, we're going to go hammer down on countries that don't want to go along with the green stuff. We're going to pandemic them. We're going to just say to them, no, you don't get to trade. You don't get to travel. You don't get to do any of that sort of stuff. You think the vaccine passport is a scary prospect? This is 100 times more scary. Because they can declare that we're part of a public health emergency because we don't take climate change very seriously. This is why I think we have got to get into some sort of a lawsuit filing wherein we can challenge climate change for what it is, which is a religion masquerading as public policy. And I think that can be done. We have to find the right government official to sue and say, you are instituting a state religion called climate change on free people in this country. And if I can't put a creche up at a city hall, or if I can't say a prayer after a football game, then you sure as heck can't sacrifice virgins, good luck finding one in D.C., to volcanoes to try to satisfy Mother Gaia. Think about it. News Talk 1110 993 WBT. Boomer, we had a request. I want to know what's up on 485. News Talk 1110 993 WBT. Brett Winterville Show. It's the time of the day when we cross the streams AM, PM. Bo Thompson joins us. Hello, Bo Thompson.
Hope you're doing well.
Doing well, man. You want to feel old? You want to hear something that's going to make you feel old?
I was hoping you would tell me.
Peter Gabriel.
Huh?
The album So, right? It's got Sledgehammer on it. Released 36 years ago today. 1986.
Wow. It's got two other big ones on there, too.
Mm-hmm.
In Your Eyes and Big Time.
That's right.
Great album.
Oh, my gosh. Please. There was a run of time where the music was just redonkulous. I mean, so let me take you back to 1986. The year was 1986. A certain movie came out. Called Top Gun. Maverick is getting ready to come out. It was at the Cannes Film Festival last night. They were able to pull that thing together. He got a 5-minute standing ovation for this. How good could this movie be, Bo Thompson?
Well, you know, Sean O'Connell, who's our movie reviewer on my show and has been, he's been doing this for years. He works for Cinema Blend, and he just went out and saw the world premiere and interviewed Tom Cruise on the red carpet out there. So he goes to all these big openings now.
Yeah.
And so he told me a couple of weeks ago that he'd already seen it, obviously, and he said he started to go down that road, and I said, no, hang on, don't do the whole thing now,
right?
But just give me a snapshot, and then on the 27th, which is a week from tomorrow, we'll do the Friday review. And he was the first person I know that saw it, and he will tell you if he doesn't like something. That's what he does for a living, but he loved it. And I got to be honest with you, I have not seen. I mean, when's the last time you can remember a movie that had? That was this high profile and had this much. It's an iconic movie and character. So
sure.
I feel like movies like that are almost sort of more susceptible to the critics than anything.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen a bad review on this yet, and I've probably seen 20 reviews.
So not to be weird, but I'm going to tell you something that's 100% true. Right before I came here from San Diego. My wife and I and my kids, we lived by the beach. We lived in a place called Carlsbad, California, and we lived right by the beach. And next to it is Oceanside, California. It's got a big, long pier. Well, when you go to Oceanside, there is a very, very, very small building that is on a bluff, like high up, that looks out over the Pacific Ocean. And so we would walk past it. We'd go in, have dinner and go take a walk on the beach and stuff like that. And we're walking by this building, probably did it like 4 or 5 times before we realized that was his house. That was the exterior of the house that Tom Cruise lived in as Pete Mitchell in Top Gun.
Wow.
And it's an old house. It's just an old small house, but that's the one that they used. And It was like, once you realize that, you're like, whoa. And I remember at the time having a conversation saying, God, I wonder why they never made a sequel or anything like that. And then that was ready to come out in 2020. And obviously it was all held before it could come out. But I think it's smart that they didn't stream it. I think it's smart that they didn't do any of that stuff, because they kind of kept that potential and that expectation alive for a couple of years.
I saw something, I think it was yesterday. Of course, you know, there's stories every day about behind the scenes of this and,
yeah,
you know, building up the hype. And I read a story that Tom Cruise, you know, stipulated no way, no how is this movie ever going to debut on streaming service.
Yeah.
It's not made for that. I mean, this is... And I also saw, I mean, it's been said a couple of places, and I think it's, I mean, really, there are not that many left. I mean, one of the last real just American film superstars.
Yep,
right?
Without a doubt.
You're talking about the ranks of Harrison Ford and Marlon Brando. I mean, and this is his role. I mean, of all the things he's played, this is the one that he'll probably have on his epitaph, right?
That's right.
And so... I'm excited. I mean, I liked the movie when it came out, but it's always very, very dangerous, I think, with these movies where you it's an iconic movie to start with, and then you wait this long. I mean, they made a fourth Indiana Jones movie a few years ago, and it was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they did the same thing with Star Wars, bringing Harrison Ford back, and I would say it was somewhere in the middle. But if the reviews for this one are right, then, man, this is going to be good.
In 1986, the price of a gallon of gas, roughly plus or minus, was $1.12, which adjusted for inflation in dollars today is $2.01. You know, let's think about this for a quick second, because we're looking at a situation where they're reprogramming gas pumps for double-digit numbers, meaning 10, 11, 12, 20, whatever it is. This is getting kind of scary, isn't it, Bo?
What does that really mean when they? I mean, how? I saw this earlier. earlier today, the reprogramming thing.
Yeah.
What does that really mean? I mean, are these machines built to just have a little switch, or do they have to come in and? I mean, is this going to be one of those things where it's going to delay the system now because? Like remember, like Y2K, like we didn't know what the computer's going to do when it hit 00.
That's a good point. That's a really good. I remember Y2K year 2000. We were all put on notice. I was at Premiere at the time, and it was like, hey, make sure you're available, and we have your phone number in case, you know, all hell breaks loose and you have to run into the company, and we have to keep things on the air, you know. And obviously, it was an overblown thing, but I guess what it comes down to is you have to reprogram these. The pricing on there, right? Because
yeah.
when you look at it, it just says, like, you know, $4.59 or whatever it is. And I guess if you try to go to 10.06,
right?
I guess you gotta change the digits. Which
and when they change the digit, do they allow for a 1 and then a 2 and then a 3?
I'm sure. You know, it'll probably go up to $99.99.
It reminds me of you know, when you go to watch a high school basketball game and they have the digital, you
That's
know.
That's right.
And there's not a 1 there.
That's right. So right.
So if somebody scores 100, then you'll never know. It just will start back at 0.
It's at 0001. Yeah, absolutely right. Oh my God. I mean, this is the stuff we're dealing with. All right. Finally, there's this. Do you want to feel panicked? Do you feel like feeling panicked today?
Well, you made me feel old. Now you're going to panic.
I'm going to panic you. Okay. This is from Mass General Hospital in Boston. This is an announcement that came out in the last 24 hours.
Earlier, as you received notice from the Massachusetts Department of Public Health, there's a patient in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts who has been confirmed to have infection with monkeypox. That patient is currently hospitalized at Massachusetts General Hospital and is admitted to our special pathogens program.
Monkeypox. The U.S. government has now ordered 13 million additional doses of the monkeypox vaccine after a Massachusetts man has contracted the rare but potentially severe virus, officials said Thursday. So it's either going to be COVID or monkeypox, Bo Thompson.
Well, it sounds to me like it's going to be both.
No!
There's a new COVID warning this afternoon about an increase coming up in Memorial Day travel and that kind of thing. I mean, on one hand, you and I talked about this a few days ago. On one hand, will people ever be as spooked again by COVID, you know, into changing lifestyles? No, I don't think so, because I think people, you know, once the wave comes the first time, you sort of you get used to what you have to do. So I don't think there'll ever be the mass scare that it was, but then... Right. Then when you bring in something new, Do we react the same? Do we treat that the way we treat COVID now? Have that stigma attached to it, or is this something new that will be in a different lane? You know.
Now that's the big question. All I know is I don't want monkeypox. That sounds scary to me. If I start growing a prehensile tail, TJ, you know, make sure I'm treated properly. If you missed out in the beginning of the second hour, by the way, Bo Thompson, we had something really spectacular. I recommend checking it out. Spencer called and told us his story about the time he attempted to smuggle 500 tarantulas from South Texas to the
which begs the question, why do you have 500 to begin with?
It's on the site right now. You could hear it if you want to hear it. It's quite a story that he put together. You're not going to believe it, Bo Thompson. It's just a story and a half, man. He had us wrapped it with attention for 12 and a half minutes.
You're making me feel old again. I'm thinking, like, is this an episode of Spencer for Hire?
No. This all took place in 72, is what he told us.
72?
Yeah, 72.
Oh, wow. Yeah. He's been sitting on this story for years.
Yes, he has. Oh, the story's unbelievable. It really should be an episode of a TV show. What do you got coming up on the show tomorrow?
Nothing that's going to top that, I can guarantee you. Maybe I'll replay that tomorrow is what I need to do.
Dude.
Seriously, we have the return of John Hancock tomorrow in the 9 o'clock hour. PGA Championship going. Tigers trying to make a go of it. Jim Zocchi's got some Hornets news today about Mitch Kupchak, which I'm sure you guys have been having in the sports report. So we'll cover all that and heading into the big weekend starting at 6 a.m. with yours truly and Beth Troutman.
Great stuff, Bo Thompson. Enjoy the night, my friend.
Look out for those tarantulas.
Yeah, ain't that the truth. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. Went a little over. Sorry about that. Mark Mohler's got the update. Hey, yeah, yeah. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. It's the Brett Witterbull Show. Let's dive into some of the sound we have from across the day. Let's start off with cut number 36. Cut number 36. Former President of the United States, George W. Bush, speaking about all the challenges that are going on out there in the world, and specifically what's going on with Vladimir Putin. He had a little bit of a slip of the lip. Cut 36.
Absence of checks and balances in Russia and the decision of one man to launch a wholly unjustified and brutal invasion of Ukraine.
Do you know the best part of that entire clip is he laughs at the end when he says Ukraine. Go ahead, fire that one back up there, TJ. Let's hear it again.
Absence of checks and balances in Russia and the decision of one man to launch a wholly unjustified and brutal invasion of Ukraine.
Dude, what is that? It's the vintage old school Bush chuckle. Come here. I mean, this is what happens when you lose your fastball. And keep in mind, George W. Bush is years and years younger than Joe Biden. Okay, George W. Bush is a substantially younger person. You think about what you've got in terms of mileage on Biden, and you think about the fact that George W. Bush was in that job, arguably top 10 most stressful presidencies. I mean, you've got 9/11, you've got wars aplenty, you've got all that stuff going on, and you know, he was born in 1946. He's 4 years younger than Joe Biden. But doesn't George Bush look a lot younger than Joe Biden? Like, he looks younger. I mean, he's got some mileage on him now. But you would think in your mind's eye, you're like, Biden's really old. Bush is just old. You do 10 years, but it's actually only four. It's only four. But 9/11 ages you. You know, I mean, that's what you get right there. And Dick Cheney shooting people when they're out there hunting. I mean, that's gonna take a couple of years off of you, you know? Now, I mean, really, when you think about it, Dick Cheney only followed Joe Biden's advice. Two pumps, man. Just get out there and two pump it. You know, just pump, pump, boom. You know, I mean, that's what he said to do. If you have invaders coming into the house, Just get on that balcony, give it two pumps, and you're good to go. Do two pumps and a dump. Just poop two pumps and dumps. I mean, that's it. You're dumping the bad guys out. That's it. It's what you get. Let me go to this. I'm going to go to Cut 38 next. Cut 38. This is called Resiliency Realized Too Late. The mayor of New York City is Eric Adams. The press is asking him about these new variants that are striking New York and all over the place. And he says, hey, we can't shut down every time we get like a COVID outbreak. When did we change that rule? Go.
Variants are going to come. If every variant that comes, we move into shutdown thoughts, we move in through panicking, we're not going to function as a city.
What were you doing for 2 years? I mean, I know you weren't the mayor. That was Big Bird, Mayor Big Bird, de Blasio. And I get that. I understand that. De Blasio, by the way, is going to run for Senate. I mean, for House. He's running for the House in New York. They're saying they're creating a new district. You know Jerry the Whale Nadler? Jerry Nadler, you see him oftentimes. He's the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee. You can recognize him by the pile of donuts in front of him when he's chairing the committee hearings. Jerry Nadler was in a different district. Now they've made a new district. And so de Blasio says he's going to run for Congress. So you're going to have that guy in the Congress, which means you're going to have him on all the Sunday shows just prattling on about this and that. This is a guy who is just the worst. He is the worst. By the way, his name is not Bill de Blasio. His name is William Wilhelm. And you can look that up. That is his actual name, William Wilhelm. But he goes by de Blasio. What's up with that? Who knew you could have like an AKA? Who knew you could have an alias and be a politician? Hi, I'm Brett Witterbull. That's right. You can call me Thomas McKenzie for the next few hours. What? Why? What am I concealing?
What about the most famous AKA?
Who's the most famous AKA?
Carlos Danger.
Carlos Danger? Amazed he's not running for Congress again. You know what I'm saying? Get him in there. What's wrong with that? Come on. I thought he might have run for president with Eric Holder. I think it would have been an amazing ticket name. You just work out the math on that one, all right? 704-570-1110, News Talk 1110, 993-WB.
Yes, sir.
Hey, boom.
Yes.
Would you rather be, with this fight that's going on, would you rather be Jimbo Fisher or would you rather be Nick Saban?
Woo! Man. Boy, Saban was blasting to Fisher, wasn't he?
He blew him up.
And Fisher's fighting back.
Yeah, well, he said he bought the whole team for A&M.
He said he paid, bought the whole team, just bought him.
Bought him.
And he called out Dion. Uh-huh. He called it Dion U. Mm-hmm. And he called out, Texas A&M.
That's it.
And Miami.
And Miami.
He said all three of them bought the recruits.
Man, you know what? Jimbo would have been a terrible coach back in like 1983, man. You know, when all the bandit programs were
on. Oh, yeah, yeah. Wouldn't have worked, man. It's just, man.
All right.
That is something else.
We got the bandits on the road. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT, Brett Witterbull Show. It's that time when we cross over to Mark Garrison in Charlotte at 6.
We cross over to the dark side.
No, the light side.
There you go. Yeah.
Good to have you here, my friend. What do you got coming up?
Well, today the Mecklenburg County Commission heard that CMS wants more than $500 million for the coming school year. And as they were getting word of that, there was a brawl on one campus, another gun found on a kid at a middle school. So CMS wants a lot of money for... What is the continuing mess at CMS? We'll talk about that.
But all the test results are awesome and attendance is up. I mean, this is like really...
Not so much. No, the test scores continue to plummet and parents continue to pull their kids out of the school system.
Yikes.
Going swimming this summer?
Depends. In the ocean, yes. In the pools, no.
What, are you scared of warm spots in the pools?
Yes.
I'd be more scared of sharks in the ocean.
Oh, I love the ocean.
Well, county pools here in Mecklenburg will not open every day. They need lifeguards, a lot of lifeguards.
Wow.
So does the Y, so does Carowinds. So if you're a lifeguard, you might get to name your price.
Oh, yeah.
New Humane Society facility is about ready to open here. It even will have a cat cafe.
Oh, that's awesome.
You can drink coffee and pet a kitty.
Let me tell you something. I'm a cat daddy of a few cats, and they're great.
I had you pegged for a cat guy.
Did you really?
I did. Yeah, it's just something about you. Yeah.
It takes a lot of work to win over a cat.
It does, doesn't it? I don't think it's worth the work.
Ah!
6:35, Dirty Restaurant Thursday, an Indian restaurant with yet another low score.
What?
And we'll also tell you inspectors went to a local nursing home, residents having to use cracked toilets.
No, that's terrible.
It's awful, isn't
it? My gosh.
Yep.
All right. Well, Mark Garrison, I'm looking forward to Charlotte at 6.
Thanks, Sarah. Me too.
You got it, buddy. That's Charlotte at 6 coming up just after 6 o'clock. How many bones are in the human body? Do you know how many bones are in the human body? How many bones do you have? Everybody's got the same number. Do you know how many bones you got? 206 bones in the human body. How many bones do babies have when they're born? 300.
Wow.
They have 300. As your baby grows into childhood, much of the cartilage will be replaced by actual bone. But you've got 300 bones at birth. And many of the baby's bones will then fuse together, which means the actual number of bones will decrease. That's pretty... Well, I mean, think about the extraction point or the delivery point. You couldn't be rigid with 206 solid bones, or you'd be doing some, you know... It's tough enough on mom. That would be like, forget it. I'm done. This is something else I think is really interesting. Today in history, the National Football League adopted an annual college draft to staff up the NFL. 1936 is how long the draft has been going on in the NFL. I just think these are sorts of things that I think are very interesting and are important to know, because it's good to know your history and your bone number, right? You want to know what that bone number is, how many bones you got, how did you get them? There you go. Now you know. There's a fight going on. We talked about this a little while ago, but I want to dive into it just in our last closing minutes here. The UN has essentially declared war on the energy sector in the United States of America. And what is coming is going to be a mess. A climate Marshall Plan. The UN is joining the World Economic Forum to call for an end of oil, gas, and coal. The UN chief, Antonio Guterres, on Wednesday called for an end to oil, gas, and coal use in favor of what they call renewable sources, part of a self-described global climate Marshall Plan. He's a socialist, by the way. He's a socialist from Portugal. And he threw his hat in into this argument. He says to avoid catastrophic climate change, humanity must end fossil fuel pollution and accelerate the renewable energy transition before we incinerate our only home, he says. Renewable technologies should be treated as freely available global public goods, unconstrained by intellectual property, he said. So you're going to come up with a new technology, and this socialist dirtbag at the UN is going to tell you that you can't profit from it beyond a certain point. You have to share the technology for free. Raise your hand if you want to be part of a world that looks or operates like that. I don't. I have no problem selling things at an affordable price, but I'll be darned if I'm going to take the word of a socialist crank telling us how we've got to live our lives. I hope, sincerely hope, that the next person that runs for president is brave enough to take a stand and say, listen, we've tried it your way for the last 4 years. We're not going back to the dark ages. We are progressing forward, and we will judge our alliances as permanent and vital as long as you respect freedom. Freedom is what matters. Thanks to TJ and Tommy. Welcome him back. Boomer. And of course, Mark Muller, Mark Garrison, and Bo Thompson and Brett Jensen. We'll do it again tomorrow starting at 3. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. I give you all that you want. Take the skin, peel it back. Doesn't it make you feel better? The pigs have won tonight. They can all sleep soundly, and everything is all right. The decision of one man to launch a wholly unjustified and
and brutal invasion of Iraq.